Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 26, entitled Fundamental Principles of Material Nature, text 41. Rupa Matritvikurvana,
Rupa Matritvikurvana,
Tejaso Deva Chodita,
Tejaso Deva Chodita,
Rasamatram Abhuttasma,
Rasamatram Abhuttasma,
from the subtle element form.
From the subtle element form.
Vikurvana.
Vikurvana.
Undergoing transformation.
Undergoing transformation.
Tejasaha.
Tejasaha.
From fire.
From fire.
Devachodita.
Devachodita.
Under a superior arrangement.
Under a superior arrangement.
Rasamatram.
Rasamatram.
The subtle element taste.
The subtle element taste.
Abu,
Abu
became manifest.
Became manifest.
Tasma,
Tasma,
from that.
From that.
Mbaha,
Mbaha,
water.
Water.
Jiva,
Jiva,
the sense of taste.
The sense of taste.
Rasagraha,
Rasagraha,
which perceives taste.
Which perceives taste.
Translation. By the interaction of fire and the visual sensation, the subtle element taste evolves under a superior arrangement. From taste, water is produced, and the tongue, which perceives taste, is also manifested. Purport. The tongue is described here as the instrument for acquiring knowledge of taste. Because taste is a product of water, there is always saliva on the tongue. So here we are reading about the mechanical arrangement of sensual experience. Or, in other words, how the living entity in the embodied state is interacting with the material energy through the material senses and is experiencing material ras. That is really the purpose for our material existence, to try and taste ras. Because the soul, by nature, is meant to relish or taste various varieties of ras. Now, this tendency for ras has become perverted, and thus, in the material world, we are interacting with the material energy, trying to squeeze out a few drops of pleasure, which is very difficult, because the material energy is basically designed to frustrate us. That's the script. See, you can change the characters in the script. You can change the names. You can change the names of places. You can go to valleys, or you can go to the top of mountains. But the essence of the script is to squeeze out a few drops of enjoyment, and the result is that one becomes frustrated. Whether on top of the mountain or in the valley, whether on this side of the ocean or that side of the ocean, frustrated we will be. Maybe in different ways, but it is like that. Whether married or unmarried, still not fulfilled. Fulfillment cannot be found on the material plane. Of course, once Krishna comes into the equation, everything changes. Srila Prabhupada was closely communicating with the son of Rupanuga. His son was named Ekendra, and Ekendra took a great liking to Srila Prabhupada, and he always stayed in touch with Prabhupada. on a personal level. So when Prabhupada left, he wrote him a letter, and he wrote him a letter about what a schoolboy goes through, and that he had to learn mathematics in school. And Prabhupada said, ah, mathematics. He says, yes, mathematics. 5 + 5 = 10. 2 + 2 is? 4, correct. And then Prabhupada said, and everything plus Krishna is? Vrindavan. So we do this again now. Everyone pay attention. 5 + 5 is? Okay, that part's okay. 2 + 2, see if he knows. 2 + 2. He said 3, did he? 2 + 2 is 4. 4. And then, everything plus Krishna is Vrindavan. Such a simple formula, but an amazing formula. Because that is the nature of the Sankirtan movement, and that is the nature of Krishna, is that when Krishna is added, everything becomes transcendental. Simply. Because ultimately the root of material existence is spiritual in the first place. One famous conversation between Srila Prabhupada and the American poet Allen Ginsberg. And Allen Ginsberg wanted to have a debate with Prabhupada. So he was saying, in many traditions of the world, they're objecting according to worship the Lord in some material form, like a statue or like that. So because how can spirit be captured in matter? In matter. So he was getting ready, rolling up his sleeves and getting ready for a debate, and Prabhupada simply said, matter doesn't exist. Finished. No more discussion then. There is no matter. Everything is spirit, if you can see it. But the eyes have become covered, so we cannot see that everything is spiritual. Looks material, and we make distinctions, spirit and matter. Here is spirit, there is matter. Krishna, yes, spirit, this floor, matter. And like this, we just calculate. But actually, on a deeper level, everything is spirit. Everything has its roots in spirit. However, that spirit now in the material world is manifesting in a temporary way. And whatever ras is experienced from there is temporary. And therefore it is contradictory to the soul, which is by nature Sat-Sit-Anand, which is by nature meant to experience eternity, eternal relationship. So in this way, it is said, Sarira vichajal yudindriya tehekala jiva fide visaya sagare tarinaje vijaya jivaye ti lobamai sutramati. Our favorite song. The senses are a network leading to death. We're chanting it so happy, and every day we say, the senses are a network leading to death. Of all the senses, the tongue is most voracious to control. Oh my God. That sounds intense, actually. But by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, by engaging the tongue in transcendental activity, glorifying Krishna and tasting Krishna prasada, suddenly everything changes, our whole destiny changes. And thus it is the tongue that changes our destiny. It is said that a big ship, big ship, so heavy, so many tons of steel, it is moving along and changing direction only by a tiny little piece of metal, the rudder. In the same way, the tongue can change the destiny of our entire existence. Sevam muke jivado svayam devashpuratiyata. Somehow or other, we must engage that tongue. And we do,
taste this, taste that, talk this, talk that. Yeah. But the essence is, if we engage the tongue in connection with Krishna, then very quickly, we become attached to Krishna. That is the nature of Krishna consciousness. Paramdhisthani Vaitate, that we will develop that higher taste, the attachment to Krishna. One cannot serve Krishna without developing attachment. See, we start in the beginning, we may think, well, this is a little austere, but after a while we think, well, this is my service. And I'm not going to stop my service. This is my connection. This is the one connection I have with Krishna. Krishna consciousness, there's philosophy, but the connection with Krishna is my service. Whatever little thing I do for him. So let me do this service. And one becomes possessive about it. It's my service. Oh, you can't do this service. Protective about our service. Because attachment develops. That is the nature of devotional service. So that is very important. That attachment automatically develops to Krishna. Therefore, Krishna consciousness is not difficult. It is not a correct question to ask, but how? How will I actually become Krishna conscious? How will I conquer the material nature? The material nature is so strong. The material nature gets its strength from Krishna, from nowhere else. Why is Maya so strong? Because Maya is the reflection of Krishna's spiritual energy. And that's where it gets its strength. But the reflection is never as strong as the original. We can have a mango tree full of juicy mangoes. Tasty, sweet, Alfonso Valla. Looking completely like butter. You know, very, like they melt on the tongue. Those kind of mangoes. We can see a tree filled with them, ripe, ready to go. But if you're looking at the reflection in the water, you cannot pick those mangoes from the water. So the reflection, because it's incomplete, the reflection will only give us the form, the shape, but it will not give us the smell, it will not give us the taste, it will not give us the touch. All these things are missing. So the reflection is very incomplete. Material life is sometimes described as the shadow reflection. So the shadow is a very poor representation of the full body. It gives sort of the contours. You can see, okay, big nose, all right, then we know who it is. But, you know, that much we can see, but for the rest we do not get all the sound effects and all the smells and all the things that come with the original. So it is incomplete. A shadow will not satisfy. It's fundamentally going to leave us frustrated. It's going to awake desire, and yet it will not be complete. So when we get philosophical, we are observing the material energy in this way, that we know it cannot satisfy. Maybe we don't always know. The nature of knowledge is that it has to gradually grow. We begin to know things on different levels. First theoretically, and then we get involved with the material energy, and then we practically forget. Then again, but it is a shadow, but it is temporary, but it is incomplete, and therefore it is designed to leave us unfulfilled. We remember, and then he said, yes. Devotional service, sarai punso paru dharmo yato bhakti la duksa jay haitakiya patiyata iyatma supasivati. It is the only thing that can make you supra-siddhati. Siddhati means satisfied, pra means completely, prakṣṭa-rūpeṇa, in its full-fledged form, and su is magnified. So, in this way, super completely satisfied, right? Supra-siddhati, one can say. So that sounds good. Have you ever been super completely satisfied? When was the last time that we experienced that? No, not yesterday. Maybe today. Why not? You never know. It might just happen. It might, but not with the material energy. It can only happen with Krishna. Maybe there will be a moment that the clouds of material illusion will dissipate and that some sunlight will shine through for a moment. Just like an hour. Sometimes a little sun shines through and you get that experience for a moment. Suddenly feeling spiritually surcharged, feeling on the spiritual platform. And then again the clouds of illusion set in and spiritual life is again reduced to struggle. That is our level of knowledge. So incomplete, still influenced by the material energy. Theoretically there, hearing it again and again. Bhagavatam, hearing it as an exercise. Going through it as an exercise, as a sadhana, as a practice to sort of awaken something in us which is still asleep. Our Krishna consciousness is still asleep. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Satika Gunai Shavanari Sudha Chitta Kaira Udar. When Krishna consciousness becomes awakened, then love will emerge from the heart. And that love is not just something difficult to grasp, you know, it is something very strong. It's a strong feeling of love. If you love something, you think about it all the time, there's no need to sort of push the mind to think about such a thing. When we love, it automatically is there all the time. So love for Krishna means that every moment the thought of Krishna is natural. Every moment the thought of Krishna is very strong. One time I was flying in Europe, and it was a beautiful sunny day, clear sky, and I was going to fly over two sets of mountains, over the Alps and over the Pyrenees as well. So lots of snow caps. So they said at the check-in, window seat or aisle seat. And I said, that's a window. You know, I thought, I'll have a look at the mountains. And as we are flying, I was looking at the mountains, and it was beautiful, but after a short while, the ras was no longer enough. Right? Okay, nice snow-capped mountain, looks good. So I was getting bored. Yeah? I was getting bored quite quickly and then thought what to do now. So I thought, all right, let me read something. So that time I had the Nectar of Devotion in my bag. So I took it out, I opened the page, started reading, and it said, the gopis were not interested to see anything other than Krishna. Okay. Window seat. Oh well, what to do? What to do? So love for Krishna is like that. It pushes everything else away. When there's love, there's no room for other things. You know? Cannot think about anything else. Can only think about the object of love, naturally, only, all the time. Other thoughts, they disappear. My love, only that. So this is Krishna consciousness. So it's not at all Krishna conscious to be a pious person who regularly goes to the temple, who every day chants 16 rounds, and who very nicely gets up early in the morning, who eats only with the right hand, only Krishna prasadam, who pays obeisances, and does all these things. That is not Krishna conscious, that is aspiring to be Krishna conscious. Shraddha ratir bhaktir anukramishyati.
And in Bhagavatam there is one verse which says, Sada Ratir Bhaktir Anukramishyati. Step by step we're making progress. Beginning with faith. Then Ratir means bhava, ecstatic attachment to Krishna. And then after that, bhakti begins. Then real devotional service begins. It begins. So whatever, sometimes we find that the acharyas are using different definitions of bhakti. We see in the commentators on Bhagavad Gita, we see that Srila Baladeva Vijayabhusan is having one way of using the word of bhakti, and Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur another way. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is using the strict definition of bhakti, like I just gave it before from the Bhagavatam, Sada Ratir Bhakti Anukramishyati, that real bhakti only begins when we are in the liberated state. But Srila Baladeva Vijayabhusan is very generous. He said, any little thing you do for Krishna is already bhakti. It is already bhakti. Maybe small quantity, but it is bhakti. It is devotional service. It is pure. It is transcendental. And Prabhupada had that vision. And Prabhupada was using the liberal definition of bhakti. The definition that just a little bit. And Prabhupada gave the example of the glass with ink in the water. He said, what to do? How can you, when you have water and you have ink in it, how can you get the ink out? How can you get the ink out when it's in water? Oh. You've heard it before. He's cheating. Yes, we just add water, more and more water, and eventually it becomes clear. It starts to overflow, and at one point, no more ink, completely clear. You just add water. Everything plus Krishna is?
Vrindavan.
Everything plus Krishna is? Vrindavan. 5 plus 5 is 10, 2 plus 2 is 4, everything plus Krishna is Vrindavan. So let us just do that. That is our approach. If we have to wait till actually love of Krishna awakens in our heart, do we even have one? It's in some. In my previous life, my ashram life, my former wife sometimes used to say, you don't have a heart. And after that she would say, cold frog. What can I say? These are the tastes of household life. So... But it did bring about the question.
Do I actually have one?
Maybe I didn't have. It could be. Yeah. What if amongst human beings I would be the exception and I wouldn't have a heart? Or would it be that women have a heart and men have no heart? Could it be? Yeah. Could it be? Possibly. If life was so simple. The heart is there after all, and the heart gets so attached to so many things. So what to do? It needs to be purified, and that is simply our process. Bring in Krishna in so many ways. A little service here, a little service there. So Srila Prabhupada organized his movement as an endless variety of service. It is service that is the key. We say that chanting Hare Krishna is the principal activity, and then we chant only 16 rounds, which takes 2 hours, which still leaves 22 hours for other activity. instead of chanting 22 hours, using 2 hours for other activities. So, that other activity means practical devotional service.
So yes, we chant our 16 rounds, but then our focus is on practical service.
We have to, that's our lifeline. The chanting, yes, that must be there. No chanting, then devotional service will disappear. Then somehow or other, we find very logical reasons. If we stop chanting, or if we never managed to get to chanting, we did everything, came to the temple so nicely, did service, but somehow or other the chanting didn't settle down, then what will happen is after some time we find very good reasons to give up devotional service. Maybe it's because the devotees are actually not nice people. That could be it. They are not behaving properly. That could be one reason. Another reason is that it's all very nice, but, you know, it's not realistic. It's just a dream.
Because in reality, there are important things to deal with. You know, important things.
No, really. Yes. Who's going to take care of things? You know, you're chanting the whole day, murmuring away, but what are you doing? Huh? Are you bringing some money home? Yes. We need it. It can be done. We can't do without it. Yes. We can't just pray the whole day. Huh? Yes, very nice, but you know. You have children. You have responsibilities. Yes. Yes, dear. It's true, but our first responsibility is to Krishna. And that is something not to forget. And what is the point? You make your children big and fat, but you don't give them Krishna. You don't put Krishna before anything else. Then what kind of health do your children have? They may be big and fat, but they will not... Children will not learn what you say. You can tell them, yes, everything plus Krishna is. See, they can remember it. But they have to see it. They have to see it that you put Krishna first. They don't do what you say. They do what you do. They see what you do. That's what it's all about. Like my father gave me a big lecture about not lying. 3 minutes, then the phone rang. He picks it up and he lied. From that, I understood what it's really all about. You say that you're not lying, and you must lie in such a way that nobody can catch you. I got the point. That's what he was teaching me. But that's not true. Actually, one should really not lie. But then one should not lie, otherwise children will also lie. They'll lie anyway. But the only way they'll rise above it is if we are above it.
So it takes a bit more.
Yeah? So everything points towards Krishna.
Ultimately, if we do the calculation,
how one may say, I want family life.
But how can you have good family life without Krishna? Family life without Krishna will never be satisfactory. It will become very frustrating.
Very much so. It is only when we add Krishna that that family life can actually start to work. What is a job if it's not related to Krishna? Money, money, money. Just for eating, sleeping, and all these things? You're gonna be frustrated, guaranteed. Guarantee you. No. But if you use that money for Krishna, then yes.
So in this way, we have to, in every situation, make an effort make an effort to do something for Krishna.
It's like me, I was somehow or other, I was in the household ashram, but I had no children. My destiny didn't happen. So then, and I married young also. Right? So after 24 years, no children, and now just turning old together, is that the destiny of my life? Sounds a bit dry. So, okay, I took sannyas and this and that. And then, you know, you have these strict vows, right? Basically, the essence of the sannyas vow is that everything for Krishna and nothing for one's own sense enjoyment. Nothing. You know, I mean, done with everything, and then you think, what do I do now? Right? Because it's okay to take the danda, it's nice to take the vows, but then you have to do it. See, before I had the perfect excuse. Before sannyas, I always had the excuse, I have no time. It was a great excuse. I have no time. Oh, I have no time to chant, I have no time to read, I have no time for devotional service, I have no time, I have no time. Then I took sannyas and suddenly I had all the time for Krishna. Help! Help! I have all the time for Krishna! Oh no, what do I do now? You see? So every ashram is intense. It's in every ashram. We have to make a conscious endeavor. In the sannyas ashram, now we have to fill all that time with Krishna. In the grihastha ashram, I have no time, I have no time. Make time, somehow or other. Have no time, take time. Right? Because somehow or other, all these other things, it goes away. Steal time. Steal time at work. We've had devotees who were translating Prabhupada's books at work. One disciple, a lady who was a private secretary of the executive suite. So she had a very secret password. Because she's like the secretary of the executive suite. So no one could get into her computer. No one. And so she's doing her work very quickly and then translating Prabhupada's books at work. She's such a good secretary. She's always working. Translating like Prabhupada's books. Somehow or other steal, somehow or other take, somehow or other make time for Krishna. It will not come. It will not come on its own. It's not that the books fly off this shelf and open up and say, here is some nectar for you. It's not like that. We actually have to walk all the way to the bookshelf and take the plastic off the books. Open it up. And let the clouds of dust settle. And then read. Read on our own. We have to do it. We have to do it. Because this is what Krishna wants. Krishna wants to see that we voluntarily come to him. Krishna can make books fly. No problem to him. Krishna can give us a direct telepathic connection and transcendental knowledge suddenly begins to manifest in our consciousness. And say, what is this? Bhagavatam slokas. Just coming like that. Krishna can do it if he wants. And why isn't he? Because he wants to see that we serve him out of love, voluntarily. That we take that step, that's the seed of love, that's where love begins. That we take a voluntary step, no one tells you have to do it. No. If you want to, if you want. Some service, if you want. There's a floor, it needs to be cleaned. If you want to, you can do it. But if you don't want, someone else will do it. There's an opportunity. There is a temple.
with a lot of service. If you want, you can do some service. No one is too old. There always is something. No one's too young. Everyone can do something for Krishna. If you want. If you want, you can tell your parents, I want to go to the temple. Now. And if they say no, cry. Then when you come to the temple, I will give you sweets. Not for that. That's really good. In this way, somehow or other, everyone has to make an endeavor. Let us make that endeavor. Because that is what Krishna is waiting for. He's waiting for that. So, of course, due to the influence of the mode of material nature, our consciousness is covered by a warm, wet blanket of lethargy. The warm, wet blanket of lethargy, which is lying on top of our consciousness, which says, do I have to do something? Oh my God. This inherent ignorance, this inherent laziness, that is really what is the problem. That's the problem. And once we become activated, put in the code, activate, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, and again Hare Krishna. And then eventually we become activated and think, maybe I should do some service for Krishna. Maybe. And we do a little service. Of course, after that service, immediately we think, oh, now I did so much service to Krishna. I deserve some sense gratification. And I deserve a break. And thus we interrupt our devotional service. But gradually we fill the gaps between the service with more service. And it becomes thicker. Sandramanda visheshatma. The density is increasing. First, our service is sparse. Little service here, little service there, a week in between. And then gradually it becomes thicker and thicker every day, and we can't let a moment go by. Avyakta kalatvam, in Bhava, every moment we use in the service of Krishna. And then we use every moment in the service of Krishna. Then chanting will always be with us. Then even when we sleep, the chanting goes on. It won't stop. Even when we walk in the street, the mind is still chanting in the background. Whatever we do, like that, Kirtaniya Sadhari, then we become absorbed in Krishna consciousness, and we will we will serve Krishna with great eagerness. Then we will see everywhere Vrindavan. Okay, any questions, any comments?
When you said the meaning of bhakti, And then Prabhupada wrote the meaning of that it means even a little bit of service,
yes,
is very dear to Krishna.
Yes.
Did Prabhupada follow the strict meaning or the
liberal? Yes. So I explained that based on Bhagavatam, it begins with Shraya, faith, then Rati, ecstasy, deep taste, love for Krishna. And then real bhakti comes, bhakti, devotional service with love. And then that Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur had such a strict definition
And at Baladevi Jabusan had a very liberal definition. He said, anything you do for Krishna is bhakti. And that was Prabhupada's definition also. Anything you do for Krishna is bhakti. Anything. Little thing. You offer a flower. Bhakti. You take little vasad. Bhakti. Yeah. You dance a kirtan. Bhakti, bhakti. And you just... Can you help carry? Yes, yes, I'll carry. Can you bring the milk to the kitchen? Yes. Bhakti, bhakti. You know. Put these boxes in the car? Yes, I will carry. Yes, I will do. All bhakti. So in this way, Prabhupada had a vision to sort of make bhakti so easy for us. So easy. Just in the middle of our life. You know. Can you carry something? Yeah, I can carry. Are you strong? I'm very strong. Yes. Alright, then carry something for Krishna. Like this. Everyone can do some service. That's why I said, no one's too young, no one's too old. Cannot say, later, when I grow up. No, now. Now. Prahlad told his friends, and they were younger than you. He told them, now, not later, now devotion is life. So yes, it's easy. Anyone can do. Thank you very much. What's your name?
Gopal.
Gopal, good name. Very nice. Nice to meet you, Gopal. Anyone else?
Regarding, as you mentioned, that our consciousness has been polluted in this material, polluted in material atmosphere.
Uh-huh.
So, according to Krishna and Gita, how the Bhagya will play a role?
Our consciousness has been polluted in the material world. But now we are influenced by so many things. There may be auspicious influences. And auspicious influences can help us. That is true. Agyata Sukriti, unknown spiritual advancement, is required. It is required to come to Krishna. Just like if your name is Gopal, that's not bad. Because, you know, then all the time you are reminded of Krishna. You know, my name used to be Paul. That's not as good as Gopal. Gopal is better. Because Gopal. So many varieties of Gopal. Your pancakes are ready. Yes, coming. Every time you hear the name, you get purified. So the name brings auspicious. Whereas a name like Paul, what does it do? You know? Not so much. Little bit. It means humble. So that's something good. But still, not good enough. Didn't make me humble. So what to do? So auspiciousness is helpful. And that's Krishna's mercy. And the devotee's mercy. See, it is said that Krishna is samadarsina, he is equal to all. But the devotee becomes partial. So when a devotee starts showing special attention, it's that's where it begins. You meet a devotee and the devotee likes you. Like, now I like Gopal. He's become my friend today. And so, now I will think, how will I get Gopal some mercy? Thinking about it. I will get him something later.
Then you'll give him a card.
Anyway, so like this, when we get the attention of a devotee, then it really starts to happen. So you lose some general lesson, the attention of the devotee. So, but you can wait a long time until you get that. And finally, by the mercy of a devotee, some Krishna comes to us. Just like you all came to Melbourne from far away, most of you, not for Krishna. You came for other reasons, whatever those reasons were. But then somehow or other, because of Prabhupada and because of Maridvisa Maharaj, who started this temple on Prabhupada's desire, and who created this temple, then with the service of many others, Balaram, who started all these things here, who organized this whole temple like anything, then Aniruddha Prabhu, who for so many years like further developed it and opened it up. For all these reasons, this is available, and you came maybe for the sabji and puri, possibly, and whatever, but it was prasad. And now, by the mercy of devotees, see, so many things have come to pass. So, the auspiciousness really starts to happen due to the mercy of the devotees. That's when a devotee comes in our life, then we start to make a lot of advancement. Then we come from passive devotional service to active devotional service. See, first there's passive. You're on the street, you hear the holy name, you, whatever, you know, somehow or other you get some mercy for Krishna. Like, I went to Banaras, I went to the BHU, the Banarasi Hindu University, and I heard that there was a museum in the art department. So I had to look. All painted, 80%, 90% Krishna, all different Krishna paintings. So I saw Krishna. In this way, got a little abhyata sukriti. I was looking at art, but I got a little bit of Krishna. In this way. Then, in due course of time, then I got a girlfriend who had a dog named Krishna. Well, what to do? Then, I would always call Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Krishna, come here. Krishna came. As you can see, he's very, very nice. So, Akyata Sukriti. That was passive devotional service. But when I got in contact with the devotees, that service became active. That took it to another level. So, when we come to active devotional service, then this auspiciousness bears fruit because of the mercy of the Vaishnava. So, yes, some auspiciousness comes. But we have to take that step. And the mercy of the Vaishnava is there. And say, do you want to do this service? And then you can either say, well, I would love to do the service, but unfortunately, I have a back problem. Or something else. You can find an excuse not to do it. Or you can do it. That's up to you. Like I used to be temple commander in Vrindavan. And my service was to ask people to do service. So, I could have written a book about all the excuses. And it's like too much. It would take like 5 minutes to tell you why they're not going to be serious. Can't you just say no? Please, you know. I've heard your story 100 times. And give me a break. I know. Just say no, please. Don't waste my time. But why say no? Say yes. Whatever it is. Can you clean the bathroom? Yes. Cut off? Yes. Anything? Yes. Vaishnava must be very generous. It begins not only that he gives a donation. No. A Vaishnava must give his heart, and then once you have the heart, you have everything. He gives all his energy. Pranirakta Diyavacha, he gives his energy, he gives his wealth, he gives his intelligence, he gives his words, he gives everything. So once I was in Mayapur, I was in charge of construction of the Samadhi, and that year it was the 500th anniversary of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. And Lokanath Maharaj was coming to Mayapur with his padyatra. And padyatra meant an elephant which was uncontrolled and known to pick up people and throw them around, with a camel that would bite, right? And with a whole Indian village, you know, whole Indian village also coming, like 300 people. And so he came to me and he said, when Padyatra comes to Mayapur, can you take care of them? I was thinking, a wild elephant, a camel that bites. That's pretty bad. And worst of all, a whole Indian village. I'll tell you later on why that's worst of all.
And anyway, so I said, Maharaj, I am so busy. Maharaj, I barely have time to chant my rounds. I'm in charge of all the construction in Mayapur. I just don't have a moment of peace. He said, maybe it's too much. Then Maharaj says, in my village, they say, if you want to get something done, you go to a busy man. Because by nature, such a person is very active. You know, at least he'll do something. If you go to a man who is not busy, he's a lazy man. So what could I say after that? So I had a wild elephant, a camel that bites, and a whole Indian village that would come even in the middle of the night to knock on my door. I'm not here. But an Indian villager never gives up. Just keeps on banging on the door so loud, you know, till you finally give up and open that door. Yes. And then he goes, Pani Nay.
We must engage in divine austerity for Krishna. Yes, 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 yes. And be generous. Give ourselves. Don't hold back. Say yes. Can you give a donation? Yes. Thank you very much. Any other questions? Yes.
Talking about developing
taste. I can't hear you.
Talking about developing taste in Krishna consciousness.
Talking about Valmiki. Not how you say it.
Developing taste.
About having taste.
Developing.
Thank you.
So, in the beginning, you were just doing the thing, 6 renowns, following.
I'm just doing the things.
In the beginning, I'm following the principle.
George! I can see you, but I cannot hear you. Raise your voice. In the beginning!
So you're doing all the 6 renowns and all, but there is no taste at all?
Poor you, yeah.
Can you speak to other devotees and tell you, fake it until you make it keep? And in that process...
Oh, keyboard. I could hear you.
Fake it till you make it.
So, in the beginning, and then devotees say, fake it until you make it. Keep doing what you're doing. You might get taste at one stage. But in the processing of that faking, that, okay, you start getting frustrated. That why am I doing it? Is it even going to work? So,
yes.
How do you stop that frustration?
Take lots of Mahaprasad. That is the first thing. Take shelter in prasad. When we are lacking in taste and devotional service is for us still an austerity, we understand philosophically why. We understand that it is because we are lacking in love for Krishna, and that it is because we're still covered by Maya. But meanwhile, we are frustrated. We're lacking taste. But taste for prasadam, everyone can have. You don't need to practice. That's one thing we have from day one, immediately. So take shelter of prasadam to begin with. Therefore, it is so important. If we see a new person who goes, no, thank you, just little. Then we say, oh, this looks very bad. When we see a new person who just really goes for it, then we know, oh, he's going to make it. He will make it. Prasadam is our shelter. It is such an important thing because it gives us that immediate taste which otherwise we don't get. And then we need to make friends with the devotees. Friendship will carry us forward. You cannot just do it all alone, but if we do it together, then it becomes so much easier. I chant 16 rounds, you chant 16 rounds. Everyone chants 16 rounds. We chant together. That's why we have japa in the temple together. It gives that strength to do it alone. Difficult. But at least on the weekends, sitting with the devotees and chanting with the devotees together gives so much energy that even the other 5 days you sort of manage it. So like that, the sadhu sangha is what carries us. So, and then Krishna gives us mercy. If we make an endeavor, Krishna will give us mercy. And some taste will be there sometimes. Some inspiration. Like that, it comes. And we do some service. Krishna will look after us. And he will send us something. Just when we are about to collapse, then somehow or other Krishna will send his representative. Just like here in Australia, they have the flying doctor. You've heard of the flying doctor? When you live out somewhere in the bush, the flying doctor comes in, lands somewhere, and then, you know, saves lives. The flying doctor. And so we also, in the Hare Krishna movement, have flying doctors. They come flying just in time, you know, to serve us. Of course, we should not just look at the Swamis like flying doctors. They do more than that. Have you heard of a slow-leaking car tire? You never had a slow-leaking car tire? As a leak that is not a real full leak, but leaking a little air, and you keep on pumping it up, and then you can still chalega. You can still drive the slow leaking car tire. So our enthusiasm is like a slow leaking car tire. And we need others to pump up that tire for us. So we're waiting for some big program. Rati Yatra. Yes, my tire is full again. Yes, Sunday feast. Yes, I feel already better. Some Swami coming. Oh yes, now I get some juice, feel better, like this. So all the time we have to pump up. We wait for someone to pump up our leaking tire. We have to learn to pump up our own leaking tire of enthusiasm. We have to learn to find spiritual nourishment. We have to learn to actually study Prabhupada's books. That's why we have Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhav, and all these things on Saturday. So that It's still Saturday? Yeah. So that we can learn to take that nourishment ourselves, spiritual nourishment. That's important. So it gradually we learn, and in that way we rise above frustration. So the immediate solution is prasad, then devotees, doing devotional service, chanting with devotees, and then get more spiritual knowledge, go deeper into Prabhupada's books, look for spiritual nourishment ourselves. Meanwhile, go to the festivals, make sure you're there, do something, partake in it, right? Be part of the Harinam on the weekend. December, distribute some books. The whole world is doing it. If you also distribute some books this month, you're part of like what hundreds and thousands are doing all over the world. You know, you're part of a movement. And at the end of the marathon, you can feel, I was part of that too. And it gives you some warm feeling in your chest. And maybe you find out you have a heart after all. And Krishna is in there. I was reading a poem of Satsarup Maharaj, and it's like about Prabhupada in his childhood. And it was very nice. I haven't memorized it by heart, but the idea of it. And it says, see through his eyes. See Dalhousie Square. That's in Calcutta. Right? See Dalhousie Square. See the proud Britishers in their coaches. See through his eyes his father, loving, and at night doing his puja, abai, waking up, and then his father supplying him with Krishna Prasad. See through his eyes as he is seeing Radha Govinda, the deities, for hours at a stretch. And a little more, which I forgot. And then the last line says, in his heart is the Hare Krishna movement. And that was like the punchline, and it was like a punchline with a boxing glove. That's what it's like, in his heart is the heart of Krishna moved. So, if you do that service, one day you may find that in your heart also will be the heart of Krishna movement. And you can never leave. You can never leave. Anyway, talking about prasadam, let's get to action. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.